Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How are you now? It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am James Whelan, Investment Manager, and a reminder that all generals are investment in nature. I've stuffed it up again. Talk to an investment advisor or someone about your needs. I am broadcasting from the Studio One of Barclay Pearce Capital. I've started a new job here, Managing Director of the Barclay Pearce Capital Asset Management Team. I am now the head of a broking firm. It's pretty cool. I'm joined by someone who's the head of a nice little corporate authorised rep called HLM Investments, Heath Moss from South Australia. How are you now?
Very well, thanks, mate. And you'll get that intro, you know, one day.
Generals are investment in nature, yeah.
I don't. You've had enough practice, haven't you?
Shut up. Anyway, just to it's now become a running gag, and people know it. And I know how much people love the running gags that we have. So just to clarify as well, so that we don't get in trouble with the law. That anything that you hear here that sounds like advice is general in nature. Talk to an investment person and advisor about your needs. Mate, let's just charge into it. First off, yeah, got to plug the ensemble thing. I will be speaking at the end of November. Not the keynote speaker, but one of the 10 people that I have lined up at the Ensemble ALPD or Licensee PD Day. It's a full 10 hours of CPD. Go to Ensemble. And that's spelled E-N-S-O-M-B-L. It's a tech thing, whatever. And look them up and plug into the All PD Day. I will be speaking about client trust, it's basically just me speaking for 40 minutes, telling yarns of my time in the industry, which is pretty cool. Check it out. That's at the end of November. It's a full day. Get your CPD. Get a full quarter of your CPD out of the way in one day as well.
Yeah, very handy. Yeah, it's very handy. They do two of them a year. And 10 hours CPD if you're there the whole day, online as well, obviously. It's great help. And especially gets the compliance, the client regulatory sections and the client care, et cetera, ones done that generally, you don't get done in other webinars and stuff as well. So, it's very handy. It's great job what they do over there at Ensemble.
Yeah, they are, and they're very, very good with me. I do a podcast with them as well on the voice of the advisor. So this speech that I'm going to be doing is big on ethics, big on the decisions that you make, a lot of it about client trust through and the way that broking has evolved since I walked into the surveillance department at the ASX in 2004 or whenever that was, to Ausstock, to UBS, starting Penson, which became Pershing, running the disaster recovery plan there that was tested, to ComSec and CBA, the client trust issues that was at CBA at that time, to walking into BBY after it had fallen over and picking up the pieces of that. So these stories of client trust issues and the scenarios and sort of what goes wrong and what goes right and how you can make it there. So I don't want to give too much away because it's actually going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be there for the funny stuff. You know that. Nothing too serious for me. Heath, mate. It's your time to shine because I've been busy running a place.
Beautiful.
Is the market still there? What's going on? You realize just doing this, I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's much of it is to do with the headlines you're seeing in the paper, the news. You've got the Israel conflict going on, but you've also got yields still marching ahead there. The US, if you want to pull the charts up, remember you're in charge of the buttons, mate. I'll pull the charts up. That's the SPX, the S&P 500. Really hasn't gone anywhere in the last week or so since we last chatted. I think it's down 0.5% or something like that. And we had a nice big down night last night as there was a bit of risk off attitude due to some of the comments from Iran. And then you had yields spiking as well. So I'll pull the yields up as well. If they're going to come up,
So that's the yield. Yep.
That's 10-year.
9.
So you can see 8. The massive move there we've had over the last few weeks. We hit about 4.8, came down to about 4.6, and they're knocking on the door of 5% now, the 10-year yield. So yeah, there's, you know, it's all to do with that, you know, the consensus is the soft landing or the, you know, no landing scenario where the US will avoid a recession, rates are higher for longer. We got retail sales out in the US earlier this week, which were much stronger than expected for September, came in at 0.7% growth versus 0.3%. And if you want to back that up, Amazon came in with their Prime Day results and they sold, I think it was 150 million units of third-party goods versus 100 million last year. So there was a big jump there. And they're also really confident moving into Christmas. They're going to hire 250,000 temporary workers over Christmas versus about 200,000 last year. So the sentiment there is the consumer is still doing really well and is quite strong.
That's stubborn US consumer, hey? You can't. Mule stubborn.
Yeah, and we're starting to see that here a little bit as well. But, I mean, I can understand why we would see it here. In the US, I'm a little bit more baffled. I think moving to the end of the year, like I've said before, student loans restarting, savings are dwindling. You know, the US consumer is going to start to really struggle and move into a recession in the first half next year. So I think this is sort of the blow off top. You know, no one's talking about a recession now in mainstream media in the US. It's all about, you know, the Fed have done such a great job. They've landed it. They've threaded the needle. So that sort of signals to me that, you know, the market is going to and the economy is going to catch us out next year for those who are not prepared for a recession. And we're going to see that. It's very, what's happening is very late cycle, mature cycle sort of stuff that's happening. So just beware. So that's the 10-year. The 2-year hasn't been moving as much. That inversion is really coming off. It was 110 basis points only a few months ago. It's now only 27. So that inversion has really come back down. So yeah, that's about it. I'll chuck a oil chart up there. So that's the West Texas. And that's obviously all surrounding the conflict in Israel. People worried about Lebanon and Iran getting involved. I did see a tweet from Reuters, I think yesterday or the day before, that Israel had actually fired some missiles into Lebanon. So. We're going to keep an eye on that. Iran came out
direct strikes on Hezbollah positions.
I
mean, Lebanon lost. I don't want to make this that podcast, but Lebanon lost control of Hezbollah a long time ago. It's not theirs anymore. It's you read that. You don't read that as Israel has attacked Lebanon. You read that as Israel has attacked Hezbollah.
I mean, that's all to do with the fear around oil supply restrictions, and Iran coming out saying they want to chuck an embargo on Israel last night. So that's embargo. That. I mean, everyone's talking about, you know, oil going up. That will stoke inflation. That will push the Fed and other central banks around the world to lift again. But I saw some really good stats from Morgan Stanley the other day. They said a 10% spike in oil only adds 35 basis points to headline inflation over 3 months, and only three basis points.
You got to throw me that line again. Go again.
Yeah. So
that's a good stat, man.
A 10% spike in oil, in the price of oil in West Texas, will only add 35 basis points to inflation data, headline inflation data for 3 months, and only 3 basis points for core. So it really doesn't impact the inflation.
35 seems like enough. 35 seems like enough to wake me up. 3 doesn't, but I would think that it was bigger. 10% increase in oil. What if it goes to 150 though? there's me.
Yeah, that's a different story.
you're talking
speculated about 50 basis points.
Yeah, it has been speculated that 150 proper escalation of this one sees oil go to 150. I've just put up a chart here of weekly US imports from Saudi Arabia. Thank you to Javier Blas, who's got some great tweets in the oil sector. He knows a lot about that one. He's probably second, possibly only to Anas Al-Ha. I'm not going to do his last name because I don't want to offend him. But Anas, and if anyone knows who I'm talking about here on Twitter, follow him if you want to know what's going on in any oil, gas, energy market. This is a weekly US imports from Saudi Arabia of crude oil in thousands of barrels a day. It is the lowest weekly level in over 20 years. Saudi Arabian exports to the US. So, no, the US, it's at a point in which it could really properly break up.
Well, upwards. I mean, that probably lines up with oil production in the US is at record highs at the moment.
Yep.
And they're also producing a crap ton of LNG now. So they're massive energy exporters themselves, and a lot of that's going to Europe at the moment. Yeah, so I think over if you overlay the oil production, local oil production in the US, it would be the oil production's gone the other way. So I think that where the and obviously a softening economy, you've seen those gasoline inventories rise and demand for gasoline fall off. So that's another part to play. But yeah, it's interesting that that it's gone that way so quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, you were going to what more on your wrap? Keep wrapping. Please.
Oh, I'm almost done, mate.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, we had earnings overnight. Earnings, a couple of big earnings. Of course, we had last week. We had the banks, Citi, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, etc. They all did very well. Beat. No real red flags there, so don't need to really cover that. We had Tesla after hours this morning.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They came in with a miss. The earnings came at 66 cents a share versus 73 expected. Revenue was down a little bit. Margins got absolutely squashed down to operating margin was 7.2% versus the 17.2% last quarter. That's obviously because of the pricing cuts that they've had. They've backed themselves in and still saying they're going to produce 1.8 million cars this year. Cybertruck is still on track for delivery by the end of the year as well. And hitting, I think, 250,000 units by 2025, the end of 2025. So they were down about 5% after hours. Yeah, the SUV that they're producing, that square, weird-looking thing.
It's a Ute. Whatever it is. Yeah, it's stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's ugly. It's ugly. Yeah, yeah. And then also on polar opposites, you had Netflix out this morning with a cracking earnings report. They came in well above expectations on earnings. Let me just bring up my notes here. $3.73 per share versus $3.49 expected. Revenue was in line. Where they did it, subscribers. They added 8.8 million subscribers in the third quarter versus 5.5 million expected. Now, everyone, you know, when they announced that they were going to stop the password sharing, you know, ran for the hills saying that's going to kill Netflix, etc. It's done the opposite. People have said, no, we need the service. And where it's coming from is their budget advert service, you know, the one where you can subscribe to Netflix, $7 a month, but you get adverts. That grew 70% in the quarter. So that's where they're winning now and gaining subscribers. Their margins came in at the high end of around 20%. They expect margins to grow next year to from between 22% and 24%. So it's looking very good there at Netflix. They're up about 12% in after hours as well. So a story there that I didn't really see coming. I thought they would suffer a little bit with password sharing and, you know, just the overall, you know, everyone's going out now instead of staying home and watching Netflix.
Maybe if you are buying, yeah, go.
Yeah, maybe Netflix is a defensive stock in a recession because, you know, you know, whilst there's people losing jobs and, you know, less income, et cetera, in the household, instead of going out, people will say, okay, we'll stay in and watch Netflix instead. Instead of going to that restaurant or the movies or something.
We're paying that level 20, of the pizza, $15. The pizza index. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, like, you know, my downgrading the pizza night sort of thing like that. The Netflix.
Yes.
At some stage when everything gets really disastrous, Netflix goes. We're not there yet. So Netflix is now. I mean, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of theories around that. All right, going next, something that I commented on was consumer staples, which you would think would be a great defensive place. I've got a chart, and I'm just going to pull this chart up here as well, that you would think that consumer staples would outperform in a defensive situation like this, but it's not. So this is consumer staples. What's in consumer staples? What's in the consumer staples index? Heath, some of our favorite
Walmart,
things.
Costco. Pepsi's. Yeah, Walmart, Costco, all those sort of, you know, the equivalent of their Woolworths and Coles, et cetera.
Yeah.
Eating in the US.
Eating habits have changed. And you can thank Ozempic for that, brought to you by Novo Nordisk. It has changed the way that people are dieting, people are eating. Consumer staples has gone down. Also, the other one is that a lot of these companies are fairly tight on margins, in that they're the cheaper alternative, so they don't really have. Just answering that question, there's a little bit of a one-on-one on what's going on, but it's interesting that Ozempic has meant that people's eating habits have changed in America, which is a big thing when you start to turn that tanker around.
I do not believe that for one second.
It is absolutely in the facts, mate, that people are not eating the same amount of crap that they were eating a few months ago.
This drug, right? Fact. This drug is $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month, and insurance does not cover it unless you have type 2 diabetes in the US.
Okay.
So I don't see where families are finding $1,000 a month for this drug. Plus, you can't get it at the moment. Supply is too short. I just think, well, because Walmart came out last week and said, you know, our eating habits have changed. This drug is impacting our sales now. I mean, I think that's total bullshit. I think that's just, it was an excuse for just a poor quarter, or what is going to be a poor quarter and probably tough times coming up. It just doesn't have the penetration at the moment. I don't see how it can be. It's not the miracle, like the most. In the clinical studies, I think the most people would lose is 20% of their body weight over a year. It was a year. And the cost itself with no insurance cover in the US, I just don't see how it's impacting the US as much as, you know, the news and Walmart are saying it is. I don't know how Walmart knows. Do they put out a survey and say, are you taking this drug? I mean, really,
they know the stock. They know what's being eaten and what's not. They have an exact straight line of how many people are buying Pepsi or whatever they've got, and then all of a sudden you see this little like a notable statistical irregularity, and you go, okay, there has to be a reason for that. There's no main reason why people would just suddenly stop buying fizzy drinks.
But having said that,
that's what they're saying. It was an example.
Yeah.
So the other reason on why consumer staples may not be a good spot here is that with increasing input costs, and they are still increasing, and you just mentioned how increasing fuel prices would, where was I? Increasing fuel prices would add some basis points to the core. That would be the fact that, you know, fueling stuff, shipping stuff around, trucking stuff, adding to the input costs, that adds to inflation, adds to that. These companies are low-cost companies. So take your dollar store, for example. Dollar store got hit the hardest with regards to margin pressure because they can't suddenly go, we're the dollar store and we're going to increase our prices to $1.50, if you know what I mean. So
it'd be the $2 store.
Because they don't have any room to move there. That's their thing. Whereas a higher end place can just go, you know what, we're going to chuck another 10% onto the price of this thing and people are just going to pay it. And that's just how it goes. Whereas the other guy. So they've got no room to squeeze on the margins, and your margins are a business's lifeline. There is the education for anyone who's investing. Mate, let's I love this too. This is another one. Mate, the back to work crowd.
Yep.
I love this. This was in Seattle, the Seattle website. Amazon employee badge swiping service to defeat RTO mandate. Salutations. I am offering a badge swiping service to Amazon HQ employees at the downtown location in order to beat your badge audit for the BS RTO mandate. That's forcing people to come in. And they audit who comes in based on who taps their swipe card when they go into the office. If you do not feel like going into the office 3 days a week and would prefer someone swipe you in to beat the badge audit, then send me a poke. I charge a reasonable weekly fee to do this. Mate, I'm gonna quit this gig and just become a full-time badge swiper. Just have people's tags just go around the city just swiping them into their office buildings so they can stay home in their trackies. It's a great deal, mate. It's the next dog walking.
Only in the US, the land of the free, right?
The entrepreneurial spirit does not die. Yeah. All right, footy tips, mate. Did we get a win? Oh, we got a win last week. I got a very narrow win if you took the numbers. You didn't?
No. Mine failed to come in. The Commanders actually beat the Falcons. I had the Falcons at the spread. So, but this week I've got the Raiders at the spread to beat the spread of -3.5. I think they'll beat the Bears by more than that. The Raiders are really good form, beating some good teams. I think they'll win by 4 or more.
Yeah, okay. I reckon the Saints, and based on the fact that NFL is now rigged, I'm going to go my Saints, which is the team that the boys allocated to me because I hated that I didn't have an NFL team. I just love watching the game. I'm going to take the Saints -3. You know what? -2.5. How does that sound? I think that they'll win. They'll win by 3. Okay. That's where I'm saying 3 or more. They'll win by 3 or more. Okay. There have been some very, very dubious decisions that have been made and some very dubious scores that have come through. Mate, last bids, and then I'm going to shut the shop and get back to work.
Nothing much. Oh, we got Oz Jobs out later today. That will come out after the podcast is all done. Excuse me. And we got our power speaking tomorrow morning. So I think he may be a little bit dovish. I think he may want to pare these yields back a little bit.
If just to go through the last thing, I think that this cycle that we're going to go through, this ebbs and flow, is going to be the same thing that we're going to see for a while, where yields, where economy is strong, yields pop up, and then all of a sudden everything starts to contract again because yields popping up, companies go, expectations have to be lowered, economies, the economic expectations have to be lowered in place. Therefore, then yields will come back down. It is a self-fulfilling cycle, and we'll keep on spinning until I don't know what breaks that chain. So it's basically just play that range as you go. If you want to be that guy, go ahead and be that guy. And there is the trading tip of the week. Screw you, Pete from Brisbane, who says that we don't give any insights, valuable investing tips. There you go. All generals are advice in nature. Don't forget. Mate, that's it. Thank you very much for joining us on the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am James Whelan, Managing Director of BPC Asset Management, joined. Thank you very much. As always, Heath Moss from HLM Investments over in South Australia. If you need anything, drop me a line, drop me a note. Until then, I'll catch you next week. I really should have had my finger on the end recording button. There you go. Thanks, mate.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.